is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
And good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Guardian AM with C.A. Nuri. My name is Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. It is always great to be here in your company. It's another Tuesday, the 10th of December. We got some, I would say, cooler conditions on the outside. I'm enjoying the cool weather. This was a very, very hot summer. For many, and I think we're all happy that we could, you know, show off our jackets or, you know, winter clothing, you know what I mean? But in any event, we're grateful for another opportunity to be here on Guardian 96.9 FM. A lot going on in the country, a lot going on in the world. As always, we do have a planned guest for you today. Kermit, he'll let me know whenever the guest is on Zoom. But in the meantime, our numbers here today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Of course, in the family of islands, it is 242-300-5720. And of course, the Guardian Radio text line powered by BTC is 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. Of course, standard tax rates do apply. We welcome those of you listening on guardiantalkradio.com or through the Guardian 969 on cable. We are always grateful to have you listening with us. Today, I want to talk about something that I think is relevant to what is going on in the country. The many things going on in the country today, whether it is the combruction in the House of Assembly or the combruction in Junkanoo or just crime in general, right? We have a lot of things going on that seem to be on the lips of many. There's no one thing that we can point to say, fix this and everything will go back to the way it should be. There's no one thing. However, I do think that we should have the conversations that can lead us to understanding why some of the things that are happening are happening. One of the things that has been concerning for me as a priest and as a Bahamian, I often question, are we a righteous nation? We love to say we're a Christian nation, but are we a righteous nation? And hear me out for a second, right? We told our Bibles, we go to church, you know, we sing, we pray. I think I would go as far to say that many of us want to do the right thing. Our intentions are to do the right thing most of the time. I think some people may disagree with me, but I want to put that on the table, right? I think people want to do what's best most of the time, right? However, I don't know if we are really serious about actually doing what is necessarily righteous. You know, you could be religious and not be righteous. Right. And so I was talking, you know, to my children recently. You know, we're you know, traveling around the city like everyone else, and you're watching people get ready for the festivities, and I'm watching all of these Christmas trees go up, right? And so we had the conversation about whether a Christmas tree is a righteous tree, right? And some people may say, but you know, who cares, right? And when you say who cares, it causes me now to wonder if we really want to fix the country, because we really got to get to the root of just behavior, right? So many people have heard about Jeremiah chapter 10 that talks about these vain customs, right? Book of Jeremiah chapter 10, it talks about, I'll just read a couple of verses. Jeremiah 10, starting at verse 1, it says, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel." It's talking to this specific group of people. Verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen." So I think in this country, we have definitely learned the way of the heathen, the goyi, a foreign nation, right? A Greco-Roman nation. The people who claim to have the moral high ground when it comes to religion, when it comes to righteousness. These people are scripturally referred to as Gentiles, right? It says, "And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." And then it talks about the customs. For the customs of the people are vain. So many things we do in this country are vain. We simply, the word vain they have here is habal. This is going into the Strong's Concordance, right? Emptiness or vanity. There's no real substance behind what we're doing. Right, we're happy, we're excited for the holiday. I'm not trying to take away the holiday season. There is a righteous holiday. We sing about the 12 days of Christmas, not knowing what the 12 days of Christmas actually are. Right, we celebrate actually one day of Christmas. So, if we're singing the 12 days of Christmas, but we only actually have one day, something's off. Right, and so this original Hanukkah, not Hanukkah, but Hanukkah, is something that we'll dive into. But this emptiness, there's things that we're doing that are not really substantive, right? "For the customs of the people are vain." For, this is Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 3. "The customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe." All right? Today we may use chainsaws or cutlass or some other form of tool to cut this tree down. But the point is, we're going into nature. We're cutting down these pine trees, right? Then it goes further in verse 4, Jeremiah 10 and 4. "They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not." They're putting a Christmas tree stand on, that's what we would call it today, a Christmas tree stand on these trees that they've taken out of the woods, right? Then it goes on in verse 5 of Jeremiah 10 to say, "They are upright as the palm." They are upright as the palm. Well, why is the palm tree being referenced? The palm tree, they call it the tumer in the Hebrew, right? Why is this tree being mentioned? And why are we as a Christian nation, a people that say that we're striving for righteousness, not trying to make a distinction between the vain trees versus the palm trees? Because this palm tree, ultimately, when you go to the book of Revelation chapter 7, and it talks about this dressed in white waving palm leaves, there's a relationship to this palm tree and righteousness. There's a relationship to this palm tree and the reality of what we as a people say we're seeking for, which is salvation, right? But this idea that we actually have a national Christmas tree, we actually have a tree that violates scripture, that we hold as a national tree, and then we're surprised that things are out of order at the highest level, right? The people who are supposed to be the stewards of this nation's morality, of this nation's principle standards, that for some reason things, and I'm not saying that these are bad people, I'm saying the type of forces that we are bringing into this line, the type of adverse forces that we tolerate, it has its way with us in leadership, it has its way with us in the family. It has its way with us in the schools. It has its way with us in the churches. It has its way with us. And we, for some reason, are not slowing down long enough to figure out why. What is it? Some of the vain customs. We were told not to be like the heathen. We were told not to go and do the very things that we do aimlessly, right? Following the traditions of men, following the traditions of those who have been misguided before us, right? And so in Jeremiah 10, it talks about this tree that we are now spending money on. And again, I'm not trying to take your holiday away from you. I'm saying you could put a palm tree up the same way you're putting up the pine tree. According to scripture, if we say we're serious as a nation, right? Then we know Thanksgiving is a U.S. holiday, but we have harvest. And even in this season of what we would refer to as Christmas, or some would say Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, there will be people in our quest to feed our faces who are going to have ham and turkey. Got to have ham and a turkey. And so again, as a righteous nation, I ask the question, if we say we follow the Bible, if we say we are a Christian nation, if we say we are people who are abiding by the words of the Most High, why do we eat the swine? Leviticus chapter 11, verse 7 makes it very plain. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. So this swine, this pig, this sow, is unclean in a religious sense. So some people may say, yeah, but, you know, there are pigs now that are being fed organically and they're being treated in a way that allows for the meat to now become clean. Not understanding that the nature of this animal is not changing. It loves to have sex. It's lazy. It eats anything. Now look at our nation today. Look at our behavior as swine eaters, right? This is the reason why the Messiah say that we shouldn't be casting our pearls to swine. People who, because you are what you eat. You understand? And so we as a people, we love to eat this swine. We love to feed our faces with a food that is unclean. But then we're trying to figure out what's wrong. We want to have prayer meeting. We want to go in the park and pray. Right? We want to beef up police in our neighborhoods and have them saturation patrol, they call it, right? Which, you know, could be necessary. But I'm asking if we are serious as an actual country that likes to hold ourselves to the standard of being a Christian nation and loves to be considered a people who are righteous. Why are we living like the unrighteous? Why are we putting up the trees that scripture tells us it's a vain, it's idol worship, right? Why are we eating the swine? There are many people today, yes, I can mash some corns today, but it ain't you, you know. I ain't trying to get on people. It's the behavior, right? The attack is never of people, but we want to attack ignorance. We want to attack the reason why we're doing what we're doing, all right? So how many of us have seen this seemingly new hairstyle of blonde hair? We got black people running around here with blonde hair. What's that about? Is that scripturally sound? Right? Leviticus 13 and 30, right? The priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in sight deeper than the skin, and there be in it a yellow thin hair. Is that not the style that we seem to flaunt nowadays? Yellow thin hair? Leviticus 13, 30. Then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. Like the swine, we are mimicking those who have a condition, this condition of leprosy, because this is Leviticus 13 is the test of leprosy. So why are we mimicking those who have scripturally considered those that have a plague? Huh? This word plague, nega. All right, N-E-G-A, they say. N-E-G-A, nega. Plague, a sore, a stripe. Right? This plague is something that we find beautiful. We think it makes us beautiful. So we eat like the heathen. We mimic the heathen by having the same type of hair that is being mentioned here in Leviticus chapter 30, the same meat, picking on people. I'm just telling you what's in the scriptures that we say we believe in. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 30, is talking about this yellow thin hair and the fact that those who have this yellow thin hair, it says, if it be in sight deeper than the skin and there be in it a yellow thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a dry scald, even a leprosy upon the head or beard. So this is talking about a spot of yellow thin hair, but we've taken it upon ourselves to put an entire wig on or to put peroxide in our hair and make our whole head at least look yellow. It may not be thin, but it makes me question again, because I'm asking a question here. Are we a righteous nation, or are we just going to sit here and just watch the country continue to free fall? I know the talk of what is taking place with regard to our staple cultural festival, Junkanoo, is on the lips of everybody today. How dare we even play with the sanctity of Junkanoo? How dare we even play with the sanctity of the government, the people who are supposed to actually be representing us? But it starts somewhere. It starts somewhere. It starts with us actually taking the time to slow down and ask ourselves, are we living a righteous way? And what does that mean? See, unfortunately, many people listen to Paul more than they do the Messiah, Yahshua Christ, whom many call Jesus Christ. You see, this Messiah was very, very clear about this idea of righteousness. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, and I'm going to get to the text and the phone calls in just a second. We got our Zoom. We got our guests. All right, so we're going to bring in our guests in a bit. Right? This Messiah says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it be fulfilled. So we are supposed to be living a righteous way. And so that helps me to segue into our guest. I want to read a text before we dive into the guest. Someone in the text says, bro, y'all need to stop living in the old covenant. But this is exactly what we're talking about. As a nation, we believe that the Most High would create an everlasting covenant. How could an everlasting covenant become old? The Messiah was not teaching about a new covenant. He was teaching a renewed covenant, because we had broken the covenant that was already established, the covenant of the bow that was established with Noah, the covenant of circumcision, right? That was established with Abraham, the covenant of the promise, okay? That said that we would give the firstborn to the Most High, as mentioned in Exodus chapter 13, verse 1, the covenant of the Eucharist, not communion, but Eucharist. That's mentioned in the book of Numbers chapter 6. That's something that the Nazarites were keeping, right? So we're not in the old covenant. We're in the everlasting covenant. And so this month, December 20th and 21st, there's a free men's conference the courage of scriptural masculinity. If you go to journeyhomegroup.com, you can register for free. And one of the panelists for this covenant is my guest today, Brother Darius Freeman. I'm going to bring him in now and let him introduce himself. And we're going to continue the conversation. You can call in once I have an opportunity to allow my guests to introduce themselves. But my brother, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Beautiful. Namastu, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm well. You know, I had to be reminded that I had a guest because I was going on about, there's a lot going on in this country, but there's a lot going on around the world. That's why we have you here. First, before I even dive into what's going on, just tell everybody who you are and what you do and give us an insight into who we're talking to today.
I'm a current member of the Holy Cooking Church of the Black Messiah, the Greenville branch. I'm a father of two, and I'm married. I also work in the high as a profession, also going to school to be an optometrist. And I'm currently at a men of the year or advisor, or a student priest of the Holy Cooptic Church of the Black Messiah.
So my brother, you mentioned that, so you're a young man, you were 31 years old?
Yes, sir.
You're married, you have two children. In from your perspective, as a young man that is doing your best to raise a family, you're in South Carolina, but we're here in the Bahamas experiencing similar things that you're experiencing in South Carolina. What do you do today?
I know that's what you were thinking about earlier, all the unrighteousness. People not following laws. They don't have a moral code. As a matter of fact, until I became a member of the Holy Cooptic Church of the Black Messiah, I was actually living a lot of those same ways. So out here thinking I can do whatever, whenever, and with whoever that I wanted to, not realizing that there is an actual price to pay. Wow. Not realizing that racism, white supremacy is very prevalent, and that there is an agenda out here against us as Nubian melanin.
Wow.
So once I learned about the Holy Cooptic Church and I learned more about our scriptures, it gave me an understanding how we do need to follow our rites, our rituals, our precept principles. We need to follow the laws so we can have those rules that keep us balanced. In the Holy Cooptic Church, we have Shabbat, which is Sabbath, for those who may be listening in that don't know. And we do that when the sun goes down every Friday, until when the sun goes down to Saturday. And in that time, that keeps us from going out, let's say, to the clubs on the weekend. That keeps us from going out to the parties on the weekend. That keeps us out of trouble because it keeps us balanced, and so we won't have to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. Because we all know a lot of things happen when you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, mm-hmm. and around the wrong people. Mm. So I see a lot of that going on, not just outside, but I see it with my friends, my family. I actually had a situation where my brother, my older brother, he was at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Wow.
And he ended up getting in trouble.
Okay, wow.
Because he doesn't have, thankfully, what I have at this current time, the spiritual system that I have, the people around me that I have, the scriptures that I have and that I'm following. That allows me to make sure that I am at home on Friday when the sun goes down, lighting my candles, eating my food,
having clean fun. You could have fun at home. You could have fun with people who are like-minded, correct?
If we play games, we play chess, Monopoly, call clean fun.
Yes.
We always put stuff in the bottom side, we call it clean fun. We talk a lot of clean fun. We get down, karaoke. Yes, don't mean we just clean my Lord. You know, we're not doing none of that.
Right, right.
We're still having fun. We're just not partaking in the way of the image and likeness of the beast.
So my brother, Brother Freeman, right? So I'm happy as a young man, you've taken this stance so that you can raise your family as best you can. And you want to share how it is it has benefited you as an individual. How though would you how would you share your experiences as an individual with a nation or a group of people that feel that I just got a text here that says y'all need to stop living in the old covenant. The old covenant. How do you take your personal experiences and say to a nation or to a group of people that this can work for you as well? Have you encountered it? And if you have, how have you dealt with it?
Family members and things like this saying, why are y'all doing this? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that type of conversation, yes.
Oh, all the time. And see, in the Holy Cryptic Church of the Black Messiah, we have something that's called a birthing ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And in that birthing ceremony, you don't name the child until, 8 days after it's born. Observe the child, you spend time with it. Because usually in the Western society, they want your name right out the bat. Hey, you got a name for it. What's the name of the baby? What's the name of the baby? What's the name of the baby?
Right.
I had my mother fussing at me. My spouse had her mother fussing at her. Everybody like saying, you're crazy. Why haven't you named your baby?
Wow.
Why haven't you named your baby? It was always back and forth. And see, we went through that with our first child. So, and we explained it. But we still ended up going through it again with our second child. This is 2 years later, we told them what we follow, what we practice, how we're living. They still kind of like it's as if they didn't know why we do what we're doing. So right. The best thing that I'm doing as far as the nation is concerned is being that example.
Right.
The best thing I can do is to show you. Meaning when we name our children, 8 days later, and we raise them in the doctrine and the children that they become. What the scripture say, raise up a child in the way that they should go so that they do not depart from me.
That's right.
What we're supposed to do in this time.
Because, I mean, what you're doing with your family is right here in the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 21. The same thing that was done for the Messiah. When 8 days were accomplished, they say, for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So what were they calling him before that? They clearly hadn't given him a name yet. So, again, these are the little things that as a nation, as a people, right, we seem to not want to focus on. I got a text here. I want to read it and then have you respond. It says, we celebrate Christmas because some like to be indoctrinated slaves. Others are actual Satanist warlocks and witches. The few that worship Yahweh or Yahayu are being victimized and taxed to death. Sadly, it's going to take something very serious to happen for Bahamians to wake up. Our biggest problem is colonization. First, the European pirates that was robbing and killing, now illegal immigrants robbing, etc. We're celebrating Christmas or in the way that we do in the holidays because we have become indoctrinated slaves. What say you? Is he still with you? Okay.
Parsley, you are absolutely correct. We do celebrate Christmas because we have been indoctrinated with the wrong things, by the wrong people, by the wrong teachings. But yet today, we actually have a true teaching. We actually have a true religious identity. Mm-hmm. We actually know that we have a chrismas. It's not where we hang up stockings and we let our daughters and our sons sit on a white fat man with a big long beard. It's actually chrismas where we do celebrate the life of the original sacrificial shepherd who we call Ataru in the Holy Cryptic Church, or who is Ataru in the Holy Cryptic Church of the Black Messiah. We have our palm trees that we decorate. We have gift giving, but not in the sense of being possessed by material, but the spirit of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our own true religious identity. We have our own way of doing our worship and praising that head consciousness or the Karas, that head spirit in this latter day. We do have that. So partially, yes, we have been indoctrinated, but our job is to go back and take our original ways out of it. Get back our Africa's Christianity out of Europe's Christ. Get back African Muslim Islam. Get back our African Judaism out of Judaism. It's to go back and take the African out of it, because ultimately it all comes from us.
See, and so I'm happy you said that. You said for a person to go and get back something, they got to be a courageous person. They got to be somebody that's not timid. They got to be somebody that's not afraid to actually do what you said. So I want you for our listeners. How do you take out of Christianity the Africa out of Christianity? How do you take out of Judaism the Africa? How do you take out of Islam the Africa? How do you do that? Because that's a pretty courageous move. How is that done?
It's the Zondervan Publication Bible. I don't know if anybody has the Zondervan Publication Bible, but in that Bible, it tells us about the parallels to the Bible, to the Bible story. Mm. And it goes into these different tablets, from the Atra Hassis tablets, from the Elatine Papyruses to the Enuma Ali.
Hold on, let me make sure I'm hearing you correctly. You're saying that there is a Bible, like a King James version of the Bible, that is telling its readers that there are books that relate to biblical books, but make sure people are hearing, and I heard you correctly. Is that what you said?
Sure. That's exactly what's happening to us. They are way older than the Bible, and they predate the Bible. Mm-hmm. As our teacher, Bashes Harhotep, tells us, he tells us that the Bible is not the problem. It's the mistranslation and misinterpretation. So we got to go back to the right interpretation, the African interpretation of the scriptures in this latter day. And in that, it teaches us that they got a lot of these parallel stories mixed in with one another and gave us what we have today as the current Bible, or the current story of the Bible.
Okay. So that's almost, I opened the show today sharing that the book of Jeremiah chapter 10 talks about a tree that people go into the forest and they cut out, but it also at the same time references a palm tree. So there's a parallel between what we're calling a Christmas tree and a palm tree. Is this an example of out when we don't understand that there are older scriptures that the Bible as we hold it today were taken out of? Is that an example of it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So as a young man, and I think when I was your age, you know, I wasn't as committed as you are to being a righteous man. I was on my way, but I don't think I was as committed as you are. You know, when you, as you raise a family and as you say you have to even battle, for lack of a better word, with your own family, do they ever come and say to you that they see the benefits that you that have derived from you making the decisions that you've made as a young man who is saying, I want to live a righteous life?
I had about one instance, I would say, of where that happened. Maybe two. You know, we like what you're doing. We respect what you're doing, and that's about it. Rarely do my family or question or try to delve into it is what I'm learning, currently living, mm-hmm. and teaching my children and my family. Rarely do they question or, you know, come to me and ask me why do y'all think this or why. That's actually what I look forward to, but I have yet to have much of my family or anybody around me come and question me about what it is I'm doing. That'll be the day where I can do a lot more.
Right.
And our conversations that I'll lead them towards.
So it really is a... Sorry, go ahead.
I'm saying that'll be the day I'll be able to help them come toward the doctrine or to actually go into the Bible and show them through scripture, show them through language, show them through typography, showing them through research of what we're teaching and what it is that we're learning and how important it is to do those things.
So December 20th and 21st, you'll be... one of the panelists at this it's a free men's conference. .com is where you can go to register for December 20th, 6 p.m. and the 21st, 12 p.m. One of the things, Texter just sent a message, and I think I want to have you address it. Texter says, the foundation of, because I know this is something we're going to talk about at the conference, right? The foundation of the eternal covenant is its laws. The laws were written on stone by the Most High and given to Moses. Then it says the laws of the new covenant is now written on the hearts of men. What are you getting from that text? I want to hear they're talking about a eternal covenant, and then you're talking about a new covenant written on our hearts. And this is mentioned in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, for those who want to find the scriptural reference. But what are you hearing when you hear someone say something like that?
Well, what I hear is that, like you were speaking of earlier with the message Yeshua in Matthew's 5, verse 17, where he was saying, I have not come to destroy the law, but fulfill it. Mm-hmm. And then if we move to Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock of your heart. So in the same sentence, when the method Yeshua knocks on the door of our heart and comes into us, because the Most High is within Yeshua, and Yeshua is within the Most High, and Yeshua is in us. So we are still taking on that law and that covenant and that fulfillment in this latter day.
Yes.
But still not separate from that law.
So essentially, your understanding is that though the laws they're saying in the book of Hebrews, I'll read Hebrews 10 and 16 for those who have never read it or may want me to read it. It says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Right? Obviously, you can read the entire chapter. I don't have time to read that right now on the radio, right? But if we are utilizing the scripture precept upon precept, if we're utilizing the scripture, as you said, Matthew 5:17 makes it clear the Messiah was not about changing any laws, then the reality of what has become of Christianity in this day and time is that it has been misled by false prophets. It has been misled by those who want to hijack, bleach it, and ultimately make something new of it. And so they want to create a new covenant which says that you don't need the law. But you're saying, brother Demarius, that you and this household of yours, if you want these two children and your wife and your family to be under this covenant, that we're going to still have to maintain the laws that even the Messiah followed? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying when it comes to the laws. Because if we're not following the laws, it keeps us, because we were told to sin no more. In John, we were told to sin no more.
Wow.
So if we keep going back to sin, if we keep going back to drinking and smoking and watching pornography and doing all the things that was brought to us, That was not our original culture. But if we keep going back and do those things, we're going to receive those same plagues. We're going to receive those destructive ways, those destructive habits. Mm. We're not going to be able to build in the future based off of that. Wow. So we have to live these rites, these rituals, these commandments. We have to be righteous in this latter day. We have to be balanced in this latter day. Because this became normal to them.
Wow.
If you don't drink, you become taboo all of a sudden. People are like, oh my God, you don't drink. You don't smoke. Right. People are like, wow, you don't smoke.
Right.
You don't go to the club. Wow, you don't go to the club. You don't.
You don't have no tattoos. Yeah.
You don't have no tattoos. You don't got no piercings. Mm. It has become the norm for people to be in this way. And it has become accepted. To the point, if you see a person with a whole bunch of tattoos, a whole bunch of piercings, you say that they're beautiful.
Wow. Because you don't.
We will say there's a pinnacle of beauty in this latter day.
Wow. Brother Freeman, we got a call. I want to jump to this call to see how they want to chime into the conversation. Again, our numbers are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. This is Guardian AM with C.A. Nuri. My name is Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III. We're on with Brother Darius Freeman out of South Carolina. He is a student priest of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah in South Carolina. We're talking about righteousness, spiritual courageousness based around a conference that's coming up. We got a call. Let's jump to the call right now and see what the caller has to say about this conversation. Caller, you're on Guardian AM.
Yeah, go on.
Yes, namaste.
You had me on a little while, man.
I apologize.
You had me on way before your guest came on.
I didn't realize. I do apologize.
And you just flew in.
Yes.
But two things I want to say. Something your caller just, your guest just said a little while ago, and something you was talking about earlier.
Mm.
Just a little, probably correction or something like that,
go
so
ahead.
To say. When you was talking about the thing about what Jeremiah did write down.
Right? Jeremiah 10.
Jeremiah did put forward.
Mm.
And in a part of that, you was talking about the meat and thing, swine and the pork.
Oh, that was Leviticus 11.
Leviticus
11, chapter 7, yeah.
Yeah, when you was talking about the swine and the pork,
yeah.
Right? Well, I understand that scripture,
mm-hmm.
but I think that scripture was for those, what you call them now? They was the Israelites. No, Israelites.
Right, okay, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's who that's for, because if you look at that, right, like you say, the whole covenant that is that's an everlasting covenant, which
right.
is I agree with you 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go with the Old Testament, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, where Christ, the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
said to some Pharisees and some other set of people
mm-hmm.
concerning what is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's not what goes into a man's belly that defiles,
mm-hmm.
but it's what comes out of his heart, out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what defiles a man.
Mm-hmm.
Because out of the heart comes all kind of wicked and evil things
mm-hmm.
To the mouth, right?
Right, right.
So, and then there's another scripture where Paul was talking about saying that if you eat something and you eat it by faith, you do it unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, I don't believe that what persons eat
mm-hmm.
will hinder their salvation
mm-hmm.
with Tingham, right? That's one thing I want to show there. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, Paul even said that nothing is unclean with the God, what God have created.
Mm-hmm.
All things is good. And then he was saying something about, what are you talking about? Let me see if I can remember it. He was speaking concerning sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was telling, but go and sin no more. Well, that scripture there,
mm-hmm.
that was based on persons them what was doing some things, and the Messiah healed them from whatever they was going through. And that's what he was telling them. Don't partake in that no more, because that is a sin. But when you look at it, all have sinned and come short of the glory. Because he said, if a man say he have not sinned, or sin is not in him, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. So at the end of the day, like you saying, you're talking with the people in the Christmas and all them days, right? I don't believe in the Christmas thing, so to say, like that. But if somebody want to enjoy their life concerning that, probably that day or so when they say thing, I want to share with you.
All right,
good.
Answer
me this wise, I on, right?
Yeah.
Concerning the Christian thing, right? You use a Bible scholar. I never see no place in the scriptures where they really talk about Christians. Where that came from?
Right. So I'm going to get to that. So Acts 11:26 is the first time the disciples were referred to as Christians, but that was not Acts 11:26.
Yes, I know that.
But that was not a term that we like the way we use it today. But I won't go into full detail. I want to make sure our guest has an opportunity to respond to you, and we're about to run out of time.
Listen.
Yeah. All right, sorry. The producer wanted us to move on. But Brother Freeman, and we only got a couple of minutes left. I want you to respond to that caller, and then we're going to try to get a couple of texts in. But caller, you can join us on 20th and 21st. Register for the conference at journeyhomegroup.com. We can answer those questions. Go ahead, Brother Freeman.
Yes, and the sinning no more. He said after Jesus had healed somebody. See, that's the thing with this latter day with monotheism. A lot of us go to church, we take baptisms, or we're in the mosque, or in the synagogue, we do our baptism, our ritual thing, we're getting right back with God, we're getting back right with Allah. But in that, we still go out and still sin. We still go out and do the very same things that we said we're working towards coming away from. Because we're supposed to be working towards that. But we're supposed to sin no more. I mean, get rid of those old habits, those old ways, those debased behaviors that we have in this latter day. But a lot of us are not doing that. We're taking these baptisms. We're doing our prayers. We're, some of us are accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior and things like that. But we're still going out here and standing. When we look up sin in the language, it's actually hamartia, which is a tragedy. It's really a Greek tragedy, the death of that. Because the Greeks wrote a whole bunch of tragedies. So your life becomes a tragedy when you are out here sinning. There's nobody out here sinning saying that I have the best life in this in this whole world. That's living good.
Wow.
It's because unknown to us, we have to consider to the image and likeness of the beast in the scripture that they wrote and their interpretation of it. So when we look in that sin, we're thinking that, okay, we can make mistakes here and there. No, we're supposed to get rid of these mistakes.
My brother. We're all out of time, and I appreciate you taking the time to share with us today. I pray that your words have been a blessing. There are many texts that started to fly in at the last minute, but I'm going to take pictures of them and send them to you. We can address these December 20th and the 21st. We have a men's conference, and you can register at journeyhomegroup.com. We want to know what spiritual courageousness, to be spiritually courageous and masculine, what does that mean? We're going to talk about that on December 20th and 21st. But thank you for tuning in to Guardian AM with C.A. Nuri. My name is Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, and our guest today was Brother Darius Freeman, all the way from South Carolina. Howard Grant is next here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Keep it locked and be safe. Namaste.